All right, it's good to see everyone this morning, and we have visitors with us, and we have some that haven't been here in a while, and may I just say welcome. Glad to see you, and I hope that you'll be blessed by being here this morning. I hope you'll learn something that would not make you a better person, but would cause you to look up towards God a little more. That's what we need to be doing, folks. We need to get our hearts and our minds towards God. And the Word of God has a way of doing that. We are in the book of Revelation. And, you know, it's a book that a lot of people tend to shy away from, maybe. A book that people tend to say it's difficult to understand. I don't tend to take the book of Revelation for any different than any other book in the Bible. All the books were written for our learning, for our understanding. Now, if that's true of all the other 65 books, it has to be true for Revelation. So what I try to do, and I've tried to do, and I hope I've done, by the help of the Lord, is to give us some insight and some understanding in not looking at some mythical story that's way out yonder. You know, sometimes that's how Revelation is perceived. It's a book of prophecy, therefore it's about the future, and it's about all these signs and wonders and no, not really. We can take it for right now. For example, we are talking about the dragon. Who is that? Well, he's certainly not our enemy out in the future, is he? No, he's our enemy right now. And we're talking about the beast. Who's that? That's the Antichrist, right? Well, the Bible says that there are already many Antichrists gone out into the world. The spirit of Antichrist is here, it says. So it's not like it's way out there, folks. It's here. All you got to do is look around. If you don't think it's more evil, and I know that, well, that's what our father said and their father said. Look, if you don't think it's more evil today than it was, say, 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, and for some of us, 40 or 50, I won't name those, then I don't think you're paying attention. This world, not just the United States, this world is becoming more evil. But folks, that's what God said by the Holy Spirit to his servant Timothy, and to Paul, when he says, in the last days. Now, there's no one that can understand that phrase. The last days means what? The last days. I mean, you don't need interpretation for that. It means the last days. Perilous. Troublesome. Problematic times shall come. It says that it shall wax worse and worse. So if you think it's going to get better, look, if you think there's a politician up in Washington that can make this thing better, you're badly fooled. They can't change what's going on, folks. I'll tell you how we could change what's going on. If this country and if this world were to return to God and repent of their sins, God says, then I'll heal the land. That's the only way, but you won't find a politician that's going to tell you that, right? Yeah, let's be honest. We better get preachers to do it nowadays. I know you can't get politicians to do it. But folks, that's what, listen, we're going to have baptism today. Now, why do we have baptism? Well, we have baptism because three people decided that they were going to leave the kingdom of darkness and get into the kingdom of light and his dear son. But they figured out by hearing the word of God that they can't do that on their own. That they had to come through Christ. And the Holy Spirit takes them and moves them, it says, and births them, it says, into Christ, where salvation resides. And then it says, once you've done that, show the world you've done it. Show the community you've done it by being baptized. By saying, listen, I'm going to go down and I'm going to come up to walk in newness of life. And that's what it's all about. Well, in Revelation, we're seeing the end. In Revelation, we're seeing when God's timetable runs out. You remember the great angel came and put one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and declared what? Time shall be no longer. In other words, there's no more delay. And then we've come now to chapter 16. And we see that in chapter 16, it's talking about one thing and one thing only. Starts with a W. Thank you. Wrath. Wrath. But so that you don't think, as I said earlier, that it's just in Revelation, I want to give you a whirlwind ride through Matthew. Now, how many of you like whirlwind rides? You know, sometimes you can just get on and take off. But I want to show you, just in that one book alone, how much is said about the judgment of God, the wrath of God, and the punishment of God upon the wicked. Now, how often does the Bible say that God is angry with the wicked? How often is that? Well, the Bible says it this way, and you'd be right. And I'm getting more help from my investors than I get from my everyday people. Thank you for your participation. The Bible says it this way. God is angry at the wicked every day. And remember, I told you last week, these people that want to tell you that God's love abides on the unsaved, they are telling you a lie. And I'm afraid it's a lie that's going to send a lot of people to hell. Now, the love of God is available to everyone. Right? Hey, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever... There you go. Right there you go. There's a way to get to the love, right? But if you don't get to the love, what does the rest of that verse say? You're going to perish. Because it says, whosoever believeth shall not perish. Well, what's that infer? If you don't believe, you will perish, right? And then I went over there and I showed you John 3:36. Remember? Anybody remember that verse? It's the last verse in chapter 3. That's a good way to remember it. It says, he that believeth hath life everlasting. Isn't that wonderful? Three people today going to be baptized. They believed that. Now, what do they have because they believed it? They have life ever. You say, well, Tommy, it don't begin till they die. Hogwash. If you're saved today, you've got life everlasting and you're living it. You're just going to get rid of this body. That's all. The real you's just going to move to another place. That's all. So he says, they get life everlasting. But he that believeth not will not see life. In other words, you won't only not get it, you won't even see it. Now, why do you think it says that? Why would it use? Let me ask you something. Can anybody in here see life? I mean, have you ever seen life? See, everybody's got that puzzled look on their face. What he says is, you not only won't get it, you won't see it. Now, the reason you won't see it is because the Bible says if you don't have life, you're going to be in darkness forever. Well, if you're in darkness, you can't see anything, folks. I've been in places where they say you can't see your hand in front of your face. That's literal. Total darkness. You're not going to see anything. These people say they're going to hell and have a party. Well, if they do, it'll be a dark party. It'll be a party in darkness. But I got news for them. And I don't say this with joy or glee, folks. They won't be partying. I can tell you that right now. The Bible says they'll be weeping and gnashing of... Listen, they're going to be gnawing on each other, on themselves, because they're going to be in total pain and torment. I don't get joy out of that. I don't get joy out of teaching chapter 16 today, folks. I'd much rather come in here and teach about heaven and all the good things and no sickness, no sorrow, no dying, all that. Boy, we could just shout and have a good time. But chapter 16 is in here. So I got to teach it, right? See? But he says, not only will you not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him or her. Whoever don't believe, not only do you not have love abiding on you, you've got wrath abiding on you. And there's only one way out from underneath that rock, and that's to get on the rock. I'll show you that as I show you a verse in just a second. All right, let me move on now. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12. Now, I'm going real fast, so you just stay with me. And if you don't want to turn, that's okay. You can just sit there and listen, and it'll be okay too. Either one's all right. Now, here we go. Verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand? Now, who's the his there? Well, if you look back prior, you know that's God, right? So I read that way. Whose fan is in the hand of God, and God will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat. If you are saved today, you're his wheat. Hallelujah. Don't you like that? Because his wheat goes in his barn. Thank you, brother. Only way you're going to get in God's barn is be his wheat. Otherwise, you're not going. Because he says, he'll gather his wheat into the garner or barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I have a saying, you can either go to the barn or you can burn. That's a pretty... My goodness, that is such an easy choice, isn't it? I mean, really, let's think about it. Let's think about it on a term maybe you can understand a little better. Let's say, for example, that somebody walked in here and they put a gun to my head. And they say, Tom, do you want to live or do you want to die? Well, that'd be a pretty easy choice for me, right? Oh, brother, if you don't care, or sister, who might be a woman, I don't know, whoever's going to shoot me. My wife sometimes says she could, so it could be a woman. That'd be a pretty easy choice, wouldn't it? You'd say, well, I want to live. Well, my goodness, that's talking about physical death, right? I mean, let's say, for example, that person shoot me. Well, that's all they can do. I had a friend one time. His name was Bird. His family has that logging business in Jonesboro. Anybody know Charlie Bird and his logging, his brothers? Oh, I tell you what, it was one of the roughest crews I ever met in my life. They used to dirt track race down at Bulls Gap. Well, I did a little advertising on their car. So I'd go down and watch the dirt tracking. And he had a brother named Wade. Oh, God, Wade was some kind of tough. And then, I'm not making this up. God knows my heart, especially in the house of God. I wouldn't lie. They got into a brawl down there. They used to fight all the time down there at that racetrack. They got into a brawl. Well, Wade is sitting in his truck. And this guy walks up to him with a gun. And Wade gets out of his truck, walks right straight up to the guy, took the gun out of his hand, and liked to beat him to death. And I said later, Wade, wasn't you afraid? He said, nah. He said, they can shoot you, but they can't eat you. I mean, now that's the guy. He was just a rough guy. Well, look, somebody walk in here and they could shoot me. That's all they can do to me. Because if it kills me, it probably would just shoot me that close, right? The second I'm gone, I'm with the Lord. That's why the Bible says, fear not him who can kill body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. So, let me read this to you real quick. So, he's talking about judgment there. Now, look at 10:28, chapter 10, verse 28. Here's what it says. And fear not them, I just said that. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, why would he be saying that to the disciples? Well, because the disciples, unlike us, were living in a time when, if they professed Christianity, they were subject to being taken and fed to the lions, put in there with gladiators, burned, crucified, whatever. And he says, look, don't fear Caesar who can kill the body, but not the soul. Fear me, who can kill both body and soul in hell. That's where your fear should be. Folks, look, if we're going to fear anything, let's fear God. The Bible says the beginning of the wisdom is what? Fear the Lord. If you want to get smart, get your fear in the right place. Now look at 11:23. Look at 11:23. If I can get 11:23, I'll read to you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to. And if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until today. What he's saying is, they didn't have me walking around doing the miracles I'm doing. If Sodom and Gomorrah had seen what Capernaum had done, they would have repented. But you have not. Therefore, you're going to hell. Now, look, I don't get joy out of that, folks. But this is the truth. If you don't believe God and accept his son for your sins, for the atonement of your sins, for the justification of your sins, you're going, and I say you generically, I don't mean anyone in here particularly, you're going to hell. Anyone tells you any different is lying to you. Now, we've been hearing on Wednesday night, we've been hearing about false doctrines. Well, to me, false doctrine is simply somebody not telling you the truth. And the truth is, You either accept Christ for the salvation of your soul or you are going to hell. That's pretty simple. That's not complicated. So look, if you will, at Matthew 25. Look there, if you will. Verse 9. And the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they were gone to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he said unto them, "I know you not." So what's the main thing to draw out of that? Thank you, honey. The main thing to draw out of that story is this: be ready. The Bible says it this way: "Be ye all so ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." What it's saying is there's a time frame to this. And I'm afraid that we've lost this in our churches. And I say this with a burden. I'm afraid that we've lost our sense of urgency about our teaching, about our preaching, about our testimony, about our witnessing. We're being lulled to sleep by the world. We're thinking that, oh, things continue as they are. No, that's what the world says. The world says, oh, tomorrow's going to be the same as today. But God says, "Oh, boast not of tomorrow, for who knoweth what a day may bring." Don't say, "Tomorrow we will go into the city and buy, for who knoweth what a day bringeth." You don't know you've got tomorrow. You don't know you've got the next 10 minutes. But we've lost that. People don't seem to get it. Therefore, they just keep going in the way they're going until they don't go anymore or until God returns. And then everybody starts saying, "Oh, whoa, 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 whoa." He says, "I told you. I told you, I would come as a thief in the night." Everybody knows about a thief in the night, don't you? My goodness, if somebody told you, "I'm coming over to your house tonight to break in," wouldn't you be sitting there? You say, "Tom, don't hold up a gun." What else you going to hold up? If somebody calls and says to me, "Tom, we're going to break in your house tonight," you know what I'm going to say? "You better be wearing Kevlar," or whatever that is, Kevlar, whatever it is. "You better be wearing something to protect you, because I've had a little experience in shooting people." Didn't like it then, wouldn't like it now. Would never want to shoot anybody. Oh, yeah, ever since Miss Kitty came along, I can't stand the thought of somebody killing a little animal. I watch these Alaska shows on TV because that's about all you can watch. You know, they're so far up in Alaska, they don't know what's going on down here, and you can watch it. But, you know, and they go out and they hunt. And they hunt for survival. They hunt for food to eat, or they kill animals for their fur so they can make a little money. Boy, it really bothers me. And I want to say to him, I was watching one the other night, and this guy, he shoots a big old bear. And I thought, that bear wasn't bothering you. That bear was a mile away when you saw it. All you had to do was go, but he was killing it for food. But it still bothers me. My point is this, I wouldn't want to shoot anybody. But if you come in my house, I'm going to shoot you. At night. Now, if you come during the day, I might offer you a cup of coffee and talk to you about the Lord. But if you come at night, you may not get that same invitation. The point is this. God says, be ready. I'm not going to tell you I'm coming. I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming. I'm just coming. And if you're not ready, that's on you. Because I said, be ready, right? Now, you say, what's that got to do with Revelation 16? Well, Revelation 16 starts out by saying that the temple, this great voice came out of the temple and said unto the seven angels, which had the seven vials that were filled up. Remember, I gave you a word for filled up. What was it? I told you what filled up meant. Anybody got a note? Huh? I'll read it to you. Then maybe it'll come to you. Okay. Anybody thinking? It's in chapter 15. Huh? I tell you what, you've got such good notes. It means, filled up means to pay, to reimburse, or to reward for services done. In other words, the point is this. He's going to pay those who reject him with what? Wrath. And it's filled up. You get what you deserve. If you accept his son, oh, let's think of what you get. You say, well, the son would be enough, and he would. Oh, wouldn't Christ be enough for everybody? But boy, with him comes love. Now listen, I know we talk about love in this world. Folks, listen. You'll see what love is when you get to home to glory. You'll see what real. Hey, listen, this love, this nonsense love in this world, this world doesn't know anything about love. But you're going to see love. You're going to see joy. The Bible calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're going to know joy. You're going to know peace. My God, who doesn't like peace? What? Anybody don't like peace is a fool. Is a nut, as they say on Andy Griffith. But you're going to get joy and peace and love and kindness. Don't you like kindness? Has he ever been kind to you? Huh? Well, did you know that his kindness, nothing like the kindness you're going to see when you get home, honey. Because it's going to be your Savior's kindness. My goodness, who wouldn't take that? Well, on the other hand, he says the other ones are, their torment is going to rise up like smoke for a few days. Oh, sorry, I got that wrong. It doesn't say for a few days. That'd be crazy. It says forever and, in case you missed that, he says, I'll give it to you again. He says forever. Oh, in case you missed that, Will, I'll give it to you again. And ever. And in case you missed that, and ever. And you know what ever and ever means? It means forever and ever. No end to your torment. Now, so what? There's that choice again. Love and joy and peace and meekness and kindness and gentleness and all those things. Or torment, torture, pain. You say pain? Well, let's see if there's some pain. So in chapter 16, he says, I heard this great voice, and it told those seven angels, go. And you know what they did? They said, okay, let us finish this right here, what we're doing, then we'll go. No, 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 no. When God says go, they go. And he says, go and pour. You know what they did? They said, well, we'll go, but we're not going to pour. No, they didn't say that, did they? Listen, when God says go and pour, you know what they do? Bless God, they go. And I want you, hey, now follow me on this. This is good. You're going to like it. Well, you won't like it unless you, well, you might like it. He says, go and pour out your vows. Now, there's a word there that I want you to see. It's a word, he says, and there, as soon as he poured, the first angel, he goes and pours. And it says, and there fell. Right? Is that what your Bible says? Well, that word, it's an unusual word in the Greek. It's only used one time in this instance. It's translated differently in another instance. And it means this. As soon as. Here's what that means. They pour. And as soon as they pour, you've got grievous and noisome sores. And the word sores, if you chase it back to its root, means malignancy. Now, what is the one thing that has given us so much trouble in this world today, health-wise? Cancer. We can't seem to find out what the cure is. We can't find the cure because we don't know really what causes it. We know that it's bad cells that multiply, right? But we don't know what causes the bad cell to multiply, do we? But I can tell you this. As soon as God says you go pour that vial out, that first angel goes and he pours. And as soon as he pours, you know what pops up on every one, it says, everyone that had anything to do with the beast and his image and his mark and his name. You know what happened to him, John? Bless God, the sores, they didn't develop. They didn't go to the doctor and he'd say, well, it looks to me like you've got something going on there. No, they were there. And it's the same way in Genesis 1 where it says, and God said, and there was. Y'all have heard that saying, there it is. There it is. Huh? Well, when God says, there it is. You say, Tom, that's terrible. Well, it's not terrible for me because I look at it differently. I look at it like this. I came to Christ and I said, God, forgive me of my sins. You know what he said? There it is. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you what, it didn't take a week for me to get saved either, bless God. As soon as I said, I don't need you as my Savior, he said, whoop, there it is. Huh? There it is. That's the same idea here, folks. Listen, when God speaks, there it is. And so he pours out this first vow, and he's grievous and noisome. It means oozing, painful, cancerous sores. Not just one. Covered in them. Covered in them. And then he follows up. And this is, listen, I know there's words in between here, but this is not gaps, folks. He says, go pour, and they start pouring. The first one pours, and then the second one pours, and then the third one pours, and then the fourth one pours, and then the fifth one pours, and then that's how it's going. Listen, there's not time in between here. He says, go and pour. Bless God, they're pouring. And the first one pours, and they've got these grievous and noisome sores, cancerous sores all over them. They're painful. And then he says, the second one poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as a dead man's blood. And every living soul in the sea died. Now, anybody ever been to Canton, North Carolina? If you have, you'll never forget it as long as you live. It took me a month or more to get the stink out of my nostrils. I smelled that in my nostrils for months. If you've never been to Canton, North Carolina, bless God, go around it if you can. I say that with all love to the Canton people. But listen, they make wood pulp over there. And I'm telling you what, the smell is something else. And you get that smell in your nose and you can't get it out. Well, listen, what do you think is going to happen when everything in the sea dies? And it's as a dead man's blood. The sea now. The sea. We're not talking about a little pond out here. We're talking about the sea. The, as they say on Andy Griffith, Atlantic Ocean, Kelsey's Ocean, and the Pacific Ocean. Listen, every sea, every ocean, everything is turned like dead man's blood. And everything's dead. Now you got these painful sores, and the smell is awful. And then he says, the third one came, and he poured out his vial, and he poured it upon the fountains of the waters. You know what that's talking about, don't you? Bless God to drink. Now you got real trouble. Listen, one thing that I try to do when I'm having pain, I drink a lot. No. Water. Water. I better clear that up real quick. But I try to drink a lot. It seems to help. But you won't be drinking a lot. You won't be drinking any. Because he turns not as blood. Bless God, he says the third angel poured out his vial upon the fountains and they became blood. Now you go to turn your spigot on and what comes out? Blood. Bless God, you say, well, I've got that bottled water in the refrigerator. Ain't you glad for that? Well, go in there and get you a bottle of it and turn her up. I'll tell you what will come out. Blood. That's what's going to come out. Man will be in pain. Man will be stinking. Man will be thirsty. And you know what? It's almost, and I don't try to get in the mind of God. Now, please don't take that way. But it's almost like God knew that man would say, now, wait a minute, God, this is a little overkill. I mean, this is a little tough here. Because the next one, he says, oh no, it's righteous. It's only right, God. And listen, now he has two doing it. He has two people saying something here, and I want you to notice this, and I want you to see why. It's a consistency of the Word of God. He says, and I heard an angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, for thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are... They deserve everything you're giving them, God. Now listen, if I say that, that's pretty harsh. If I say you, hey, you get exactly what you deserve. I don't mean it. I'm just making an example. Hey. Listen, I can't say that because I need to get what I deserve too. See, everybody in here deserves something, right? God don't deserve nothing. So if God gives you what you deserve, bless God, you deserve it. And he has this angel say it. And then he has another one. He says, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgment. Why do two people say that? Why is there an angel says it and then one from the altar say it? Why? Because the Bible says where you want something that is true, there has to be at least two witnesses. God says, I'm giving you two witnesses that everything I'm doing is right. Everything I'm doing is just. Everything I'm doing, they deserve. I've given you this verse more times than I can count, and you ought to know it by now. Hebrews 10:28 says that, my mind just went plumb blank. I tell you, when my recorder gets off, I get off. He says, "Of how much?" Thank you, Father. He says, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye?" He's asking you the question now. How much sore punishment suppose ye should he be thought? There's that word. Worthy or deserving, who hath done three things. First of all, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. You say, I'd never trod underfoot the Son of God. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes and tells you you're lost and you reject him, what do you think you're doing? What do you think a person's doing when they know they need to get right with God and they don't? You're trodden underfoot the Son of God. And then he says, not only that, but you have counted the blood of the covenant whereby you were sanctified an unholy thing. I want you to think about that now. And then you'll get the idea why he says they're worthy, bless God. They deserve everything they're getting. They've trodden underfoot the Son of God. They've counted his precious blood. His blood, not yours. Your blood couldn't save you, and your blood couldn't save me. But his precious blood, the Bible says, is what saves you. It's what paid your sin debt. And for you to count that an unholy thing, do you count that something that is not of God? You're going to get what you deserve. And then what's that last one say? And hath done despite unto the Spirit of... The Holy Spirit comes and knocks and pleads. And you do this. That's what it means. You've done respite unto the Spirit of grace. You spit right in the face of the Holy Spirit who would plead with you, who would beg with you. You get what you deserve. Even I would say that. But I'm not God. I can't tell you deserve anything because I didn't get what I deserved. I deserved hell. I know my life. I know what I was when I pulled up to that red light. I didn't deserve that Holy Spirit knocking at my door. But boy, I'm glad I didn't do respite to it. I'm glad I said, "Lord, help me. Save me." By glory, he did too. Now you know what? I get what I deserve. Hallelujah. Don't you like it? Huh? Don't you like it? I get what I deserve. You say you don't deserve anything. Oh, God, don't tell me. I'm in Jesus Christ. I deserve, the Bible says, I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. I get everything that's his. Well, glory, don't you like it? So what do you deserve? You're going to get what you deserve. And then he says, the fourth angel poured out his vial. And the sun, I want you to listen now. The sun heats up. Oh, just a few degrees. That's all it takes, honey. If that sun heats up just a few degrees above what it is right now, you ask any scientist what'll happen, they'll start baking down here. Anybody ever got really sunburned? I mean just really sunburned. Yeah, bless God. Yeah. And you know what? when you start baking, you get thirsty. But you're not going to find anything to drink because it's blood. But you're going to be scorched, the Bible says, with great heat. That's what's going to happen. God's going to scorch every man, every woman. Bless God that took any part with the beast. He's going to scorch them. And hey, remember now, they still got them cancerous sores. The smell is still out there. The blood's still in the waters. They got nothing to drink. Now they're sunburned. I mean sunburned. Now, anybody know what happened? When is the worst time for a sunburn? Oh, thank you. I tell you what, because the fifth angel is getting ready to pour out his vial. And the fifth angel says, pour out his vial upon the kingdom of the beast. And there was, oh, listen, the worst thing you can have was sunburns at night. Ooh, I don't know why. Listen, I'm not a scientist, so don't ask me. I can't go any farther than that. I can just tell you from experience, man, a sunburn at night is something else. And that's just a sunburn you get here. When God burns you, you're going to really feel it. And so here they are. They've made their choice. They took the mark of the beast. They took the number of the beast. They worshiped the image of the beast. They worshiped the beast. They worshiped the dragon. They worshiped through the false prophet. They've made their choice. They're getting what they deserve. And I say to you, what do you deserve? What do you deserve? What are you going to get come payday? You say, I don't know. Yeah, I do. You'll get one of two things at payday, my friend. You'll get Christ and everlasting life. Or you'll get darkness and everlasting torment. And this is just a preview of what you're going to get forever. And then he says the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and it dried up for the armies of the east to come. And what he's doing here, he sends out these three frogs that are three demons, that one from the dragon, it says, one from the beast, it says, one from the false prophet. And they go out, and I call them the emissary of three. And they go out, and they're talking, and they're encouraging, and they're drawing. And boy, they got silver tongues, and they perform miracles, it says. And they go out there, and they're dragging all these leaders of the world and their armies, and they're saying, come down, come down, come down to the valley of Megiddo. To Armageddon. How many of you have heard of Armageddon? Bless God, they've even made a movie called Armageddon. Don't tell me this world doesn't know about Armageddon. This world does know about Armageddon. You know what the word Armageddon means in the Greek? Rendezvous. How many of you have ever had a rendezvous? Huh? A rendezvous is where you're going to meet somebody. Huh? You say, I've got a rendezvous. I'm going to meet somebody. Yes, bless God, you are going to meet somebody. You're going to meet Almighty God's who you're going to meet. But I got me a rendezvous. Woo! Glory, I'm telling you right now. I got me a rendezvous. It's called heaven. Bless God, he says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. I've got a rendezvous in heaven. I'm going to see the King, and it won't be long. Hallelujah, don't you like it? And then the seventh angel poured out his vial in the air, it says. What's been affected now? The two things that you can't live without. Come on in, I'm going to finish this or else. Huh? What an air, bless God, you can't do without it. You just try, you won't live long. He's affected the water. Now he's going to pour this vial out into the air. And this great voice out of heaven, it's only one voice, a great voice out of heaven, folks. It's God saying what? It's done. It's done. It's over. It's done. And then all this, it says there's an earthquake such as was never before seen since time began. Did you know Now, I've got to hurry. Boy, I've got to hurry. Don't let them in. I've got to hurry. There's a fault line. There's a fault line starts in California, and it runs all the way through New Zealand, all the way through Europe, all the way up the East Coast, and all the way back to the West Coast. How do you like that? Bless God, when God hits this earthquake, whew, there won't be a place in this world that won't be affected. And then you know what happens? As if it's not bad enough. You say, boy, whew, I'm glad I missed that earthquake. Oh, boy, that was a bad one. Boy, I'm glad I lived over where I lived. All of a sudden, you hear something. And it starts getting a little louder up there. And you say, oh, boy, whew, there's something coming. I don't know what's coming. And then all of a sudden, these 100-pound hail balls. How many of you ever been in a hailstorm? How many of you walked out and seen your car after a hailstorm? Hey, bless God. Hey, listen, that's just them little old bitty. They'll make a mark on your car that big, won't they? You drop a 100-pound hail ball out of the heavens. That won't just do that. That'll flatten that car. And you know what it'll do to you? It'll flatten you too. You say, Tom, that's overkill. No. No. It's everything a person deserves that would spit on God. I don't say that with joy, folks, please. I've asked God to burden me. I want compassion and concern for the lost. They're going to get what they deserve, and they just don't know it. They're blind to it. They're deaf to it. I got to tell them. Oh, well, don't worry. We're going to get to 21, 22. We'll get home. But till then, I got to tell you the bad. Come on in. I'm done.